welcome to the Volunteer Firefighter Podcast. My name's Scott, and I'm with two firefighters. I'm with Ash.
Hey there.
And Todd.
Hey, what's happening?
Tonight, we're going to, we were actually going to have some guests on, but there's been still wildfires happening. That's actually why we didn't have a podcast last week. Ash and Todd went up to Ash's in-law's house, the cabin in the woods, to see if they needed to do some sprinkler protection. Actually, yeah, maybe you want to talk about that fire in our news, Ash.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, we were going to actually chat to a chief in one of our neighboring departments. Actually, the kind of the central location of the Upper Park Real Fire. Last week, we were going to have the chief on, and we were all set to do our recording coming up like an hour prior or whatever, and we're monitoring this new fire up the valley just outside of Peachline, British Columbia here, and yeah, luckily our family has a nice cabin up there, and it was getting pretty close. I actually ended up reaching out to the father-in-law and was like, hey, like, how's things looking? And at that time he says, yeah, it's getting pretty big, and it was about 5K away from the cabin. So we're all chatting, and like, knowing that you know, we've been doing some updates to the cabin, and you know, there's some continuous work getting done. Like, I'd really like to go and tidy up some of that sprinkler protection, because it wasn't quite as dialed as it could be. And, you know, knowing that it was getting, you know, pretty close, and most people were off the hill at that point, Todd and I made the choice to kind of mosey up there and have a look. We gathered up some spare equipment just to make sure that we had everything that we needed, and took a drive up there, and it was pretty eventful. We saw like a really organized fire front, you know, exhibiting easily where we were ranked 4+. I'd say it was, what, maybe like three to four K fire front when we were driving. I mean, some of it was a bit of a spot fire, so it wasn't completely connected. But yeah, for a good 3+ K, it was just a long line of fire, which was going uphill at this point still, which is good, and it was going away from our cabin. When it was initially reported that we saw, it was 75 hectares, and we loaded up, we drove up there, we got our stuff done, and by the time we got back down and checked again, it had popped back to 450. So obviously that's going to be a bit more current mapping, but what started out pretty small, with some pretty aggressive winds, which made for some pretty aggressive fire activity. It was pretty aggressive. I guess that's the catchphrase of what I'm saying here. It was pretty aggressive up there. But luckily it was aggressive away from the cabin. So, no issues for us, but, it's still active up there. It's still doing its thing, but, nothing crazy on our end. So we got to go up there, have a quick walkabout, make a bit of a game plan, and then cruise back down. So, I think that one's actively being monitored. I don't think a heck of a lot of activity is being put on it anymore. So they've obviously got a bit of a handle.
Yeah, it was going pretty good. Like I said, on the drive up, we had a really good view from it on that one stretch of road. And yeah, you could see a couple of choppers actively bucketing it. Really strong kind of southeast wind, so blowing away from the cabin, which was really good to see. And then, of course, when we got up there, we were ready to rock and roll. We had chainsaw, and we were thinking, oh, yeah, we're doing a whole bunch of prepping, and it was way more mellow when we arrived. So it was really good to see. But he had a really good setup, and he had a good plan to kick things off and set up hoses and sprinklers if needed. But, yeah, then when we hit the highway again coming home, back into cell service, and then the next day as well, it skyrocketed into the hectares. Like, I think it was up to 750 at that point the next morning. And now they're getting worried about Peachland. So Peachland Fire was already starting to action their areas of planning if it gets into their district. So, but now, like you said, it's the weather's cooperating and things are settling.
Yeah, ever since that kind of cold front came in, it's everything's really dropped off. I think a lot of fires are being held now, and being deemed under control. So yeah, wildfire season I think is over. Like the real extreme part of the wildfire season. We did have a fire here last year on Halloween, so but it was pretty small in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, and then we got snow the following day. So yeah, I mean, we are sitting here saying that you know, the season's wrapping up, but still from my back deck I can see the Park Royal fire is still super active, and I think that'll remain active until we get weather through again. We actually just got a call from dispatch the other day to go have a peek, because it was a pretty good call on the black smoke that was coming up, and you know, who knows what it got itself into, but it was definitely like way up in the bush, so there's no structures close to it, and I think I still see helicopters actioning it, so you know, they are kicking around, but yeah, people are still on edge. You know, obviously there's been a shit ton of devastation in our province, and they start to see the activity pick up again, and yeah, it's kind of worrisome. So dispatch gave us a shout the other day to go have a peek, and Scott and I took a bit of a drive, and it was nothing, but you know, nice to be able to go and put eyes on something and actually not have to do anything after the summer that we've had. So
Todd, you have some wildfire news. It's not related to actual fire.
Yeah, so again, just wildfire season that's slowly wrapping. However, there's still a lot of crews out there actioning stuff. And unfortunately, last week we got news that there was a crew of four heading home after a fire, heading back to their base in Kamloops, and they got into a head-on collision late at night. So there was four members from the Tomahawk Ventures crew that actually passed away in that incident. So again, pretty devastating to BC forestry this year. We've had a lot of deaths, pretty unprecedented for BC in general. I think before then, like we've talked in the past, it's been a long time since we have any in the line of duty deaths up here in Canada, and especially BC. So our thoughts are with all the families and people involved in that one.
Yeah, maybe we'll mention also there was a line of duty death with the RCMP on Friday, right? Yeah. Out of Coquitlam, I think they were Maple Ridge members. They went to serve a warrant, and they got somehow an altercation occurred. They got in a gunfight with the subject. One officer was killed, and two were wounded. And the subject survived, but he's obviously in custody now.
Yeah, pretty traumatic event. I know a lot of our members were involved immediately when that response happened. I got phoned as well for some of our SISM team reach outs to some of the crew members and the dispatchers and call takers. And it was really good to see. Actually, we had one of our provincial honor guard members and one of our ceremonial unit APBC, our union members, drive the ambulance directly to the scene to support the RCMP members on the scene and all the other agencies that were involved. And then also part of the procession, they drove the ambulance when they transported the officer's body back to his district. So pretty emotional. I know there's a lot of thank yous from all the other agencies that were involved, having our Honor Guard members there. So,
all right, I guess moving on to what we're going to talk about tonight. We once again had another structure fire. So that's two in the last few weeks. Actually, in the similar area, it was kind of a odd call, because this is the fourth time that same location has burned. In the past, we had a garage fire there. We've had a trailer on fire there, and then we had a house, like a structure fire. The actual house burnt pretty substantially. I think we probably talked about that on one of our podcasts. And then that didn't burn to the ground. It burned up pretty good, pretty much uninhabitable unless you dabble in the illicit drug trade. It's not uninhabitable. So I guess it got re-inhabited. And once again, it burned. This time it burned mostly to the ground, and then the rest was actually torn down. But I'll let Ash talk about that. He was on first truck. I ended up being much later on the fourth and fifth truck, which is I'll explain why that was. But yeah, Ash, go ahead.
Yeah, so on Monday, call comes in. Actually, it's funny, I was at work, and one of my previous employees phones me. Hey, buddy, how's it going? I'm like, pretty good. He's like, you guys got a fire call? I'm like, nope. Check my phone, check my pager still on, yeah. He's like, oh, there's a huge plume of black smoke outside. So I kind of like tilt my head so I can see. Sure as shit, yeah, there's a pretty good column coming. So I'm like, okay, thanks, bye, click. And now the tones drop. And it's funny, the addressing when it first came out was pretty confusing. So like, I was trying to see, like thinking back to where I could see it. I'm like, it doesn't seem right. But anyway, so we continue to respond and ended up getting some more info as more info became available. And we got the correct address, or at least the correct area. So first driving truck was our crew. And it's up in a subdivision. Pretty spacious area, probably like quarter acre lots. Pretty easy access, lots of water supply, which is really good. We pull up and heavy wind. Like the wind was blowing, blowing from the north to the south. We gain access to the property, start stretching hose lines, and our initial concern, much like the previous one that we spoke of, was let's just make sure this doesn't spread elsewhere. Let's action the fire, obviously, but it had already spread to the ground, to some trees that were adjacent to the structure. And like it was, we don't like to use the term fully involved, but fire was pushing out of everything. Like it was pretty much full rock. So it was an aggressive defensive attack, if you will. Like we wanted to get quick water application on it, get this thing knocked back. And once we had that done, we kind of transitioned over to getting some of the grassland that was surrounding the structure knocked out, and then we moved back to the structure. And I'd say within like the first couple of, probably within the first 10 minutes, things really tamed down, and it became pretty much your, you know, classic surrounding drown. But there was a lot of moving parts. We got three lines stretched off of our truck right away. Second new engine got a line stretched. Got some pretty big water in the Alpha side once the second truck was there, which definitely made the big difference for the structure. And then we just came up with a plan on how to attack and suppress the rest of the fire. But, you know, again, it was the major thing about the fire was it was basically your classic surrounding drown. But those high winds brought quite the variable that we're not usually accustomed to. I mean, we definitely get wind here in the valley, but that was blustery.
And it's also really mixed with a lot of sagebrush area, some decent grassland kind of spread out. Like, I wouldn't really call it an intermix. Kind of. I mean, there's still a lot of heavy trees through there, even though it's still a subdivision in your district. But, yeah, there's quite the threat to some wildfire up
there.
Yeah,
like... So back to me explaining what fourth and fifth truck mean. Like I came in on the rescue truck, which is, it has SCBA. It doesn't really fight any type of structural fire, but with two engines there for a single family home, it's more than enough engine to fight the fire. So I just brought a crew with me for manpower, and we had SCBA on. I actually went over, talked to the chief and duty officer in charge, and kind of said, hey, we should get the bush truck here. It can kind of go in the places where rest can't. So we brought the bush truck out. That's when I jumped in that because it was a daytime call, a little lower on the manpower during daytimes. So it came with one member attached to it. So I jumped in and we did tactical patrols of the area. But yeah, I'd say that's definitely an intermix because there's no really hard and fast line of demarcation from when wildland hit to the subdivision. It's got that whole, there's like a whole grass, like tree area between these other row houses. So we did kind of patrols up and down the dirt roads and just talked to people. Lots of people had their sprinklers out and just kind of did that. There was some big hunks of burnt portions of the house laying in these dry grass. I was actually very surprised we didn't get at least a few spot fires.
But yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then we moved into kind of that mop-up phase, which is kind of unique because it's one of those phases where these kind of houses, they're so far gone, and because of the occupants, they basically end up getting torn down. So pretty much right away, the group that kind of runs that area of the subdivision, one of the guys in charge came. He said, "Yeah, we're gonna tear this thing down." So by tearing it down, we've realized over the years we should pull it out and not push it in. We pushed them in the past, and they kept burning. In fact, the last structure we had, we pushed it in, kept burning. Last one of these kind of derelict houses. So we want to pull this material out. So what we did, we ended up doing a search team. I'll let Ash kind of explain that. The police wanted us to make sure, like, obviously we have to double check there was nobody inside, even though it was a house that should not be that should not have been occupied, just because of the way it was previous. We still needed to do that double check on that search. So we got, I talked to Ash real quick. I talked to the chief and duty officer real quick. Then I went and had a talk with Ash, made sure it was good to go. And then maybe Ash can explain what his plan was.
Yeah. So there's a crew, that we had set ready to rock inside, just to do a thorough sweep with what was inhabitable still. So we made up a bit of a plan. Two members were going to make entry. We were going to keep one of them kind of positioned, like by the door in SCBA. I was going to be on the outside of the door in SCBA. And then, yeah, they were just going to go in, as far as they felt safe. So they grabbed some tools, pushed down the stairs. Stairs were still very, very viable. They got to the bottom where we knew that there was at least two sort of quasi-bedrooms down there. So they went and had a peek. And they really cleared it pretty fast. I'd say within 2 or 3 minutes, they had the basement clear. And then they popped back up. So we had a bit of a chat outside of the doorway again. And there was a couple little stubborn, like, embers still kind of, like, flickering on the floor. Just a couple things that they figured that they could probably hit a little easier with the hose line. So they advanced themselves back in one more time with the hose line, knocked out these you know, sort of last little spots here and there. And then was just going to do one final sweep of what I guess would be the sort of over on the Alpha Bravo side of the basement. So I think all in all, they were probably only in there for about maybe 5 or 6 minutes. But during that sweep, it did get pretty interesting.
Yeah, so right about when they're doing the sweep, the loader shows up. And it's like a big commercial loader. It's not a small deal. So he shows up. Myself and the duty officer have a talk with him. We're set 8 because we had our hydrant line stretched across the driveway. So we're going to let him go in that way. We'll shut the hydrant line down. So we shut the hydrant line down, made sure it's softened. And we're like, okay, just, yeah, you can go ahead and drive in there. Thinking that he was going to drive in there and wait for further instruction. Well, he drove in there and he was ready for action. So he drove in there. Right away, the bucket started raising. Ash saw it happening. Adam saw it happening. I was looking the other way. I started hearing like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm like, what is going on over there? And realized that he, like, the bucket is up and he's driving towards the house. Thankfully, Ash and Adam, one of our captains, stopped him right away. But he did get one kind of good whack in with the bucket and knocked out, like, basically the alpha wall. The upper part of the alpha wall. So it was definitely one of those moments where we're like, okay, so... We definitely have to communicate with this guy better because I mean, it's no fault of his, you know, from previous times. I mean, when this guy's helped us, we weren't in the building. We were out. So he didn't realize that it was one of those times where we're going to pause and wait. So, we definitely made sure after that we pulled all the crews up, make sure they're all safe. They're all good. And then, and then actually put a member with him that would, he would only, the loader operator would only move when our member told him to move and where to move, which is kind of what we were planning, I think, in the beginning. But yeah, I just went a little hot. So we did a good debrief about that later on, about the safety aspect of that. So hopefully that, if we use heavy equipment again, which I'm sure we will one day around structure fires, we just have to make sure we are very clear with those operators and make sure we put one person, and that's the person that gives them the commands, not four guys, not nobody, just we're gonna talk to them.
Yeah, I think that's one of the key things that we can take away from this is, we've worked with this agency before, and the gentleman responded really, really well to direction. I don't know what the circumstance was this time in his mind that he figured this was going to be the time to go in there. But a couple things that happened along the way that led up to him, being in there. I think, like Scott says, just a miscue, saying, yeah, let's go in, not let's go all the way in, things like that. Being able to come back to the hall and just own it. But yeah, like we missed something there. Like obviously something happened that was outside of our direction, but not outside of our control. And really prompting the guys and gals of the department to say, hey, like we're doing our best, our safety officer is doing his best, but everything is so fluid and things happen quickly that if you see something that doesn't look right, come speak to us, because like we are not perfect. We are learning every day as this goes, and we want to hear from you. If you see something off, come say it. It wasn't prior to the incident, but we had a couple members who were like, ooh, that was a very near miss. Yep. And then we chatted about a RIT team being established, which for us, as in any fire, when you initiate a RIT team is when you're going inside. And when does that happen? At the start of the fire. So here we're like an hour into the fire. The fire is out and there's a team that's going to go in. And, we had a quasi RIT team, but it wasn't communicated well. And again, that was on us. So instead of just being like, everything's fine because nothing happened. Yeah, no, let's own that as well. Hey guys, like we know that, we probably should have, vocalized that a bit more, so everybody was on the same page. Everybody was aware that these two people were going to be like our RIT team in waiting. And then we had a dozen other firefighters that were, coming off of rehab and were ready to rock. They just weren't packed up. So knowing that we had two people right away early, myself and Matt, because Matt wasn't actively doing anything while he was in there. He was kind of like maybe just feeding the line. He was the guy that was going to. So I guess Steve Lee had a radio, but Matt was my line of sight. So I had comms to Steve Lee and I had line of sight to Matt, and Matt was only sitting there feeding the hose. So knowing that there was two of us that could jump in right away, and Matt wasn't pushed in, I felt pretty safe about it, and I think we all felt safe. And looking back, I still feel safe about it. But if we were to vocalize that a little better to the rest of the team, I think they probably would have felt a little better knowing that, hey, these guys did talk about it. There is a team that is established, and this is the plan. Obviously, we don't have to broadcast steps A through Z to the entire team, but certain things like that, again, it's a bit of a learning moment. And yeah, I think when you stumble, you learn and you come out the other side stronger. So it was very, very well received when we went through our debrief back of the hall. And yeah, I think it was really good.
Yeah, I think sometimes, like you mentioned before, like, this other agency, like they're pretty eager to get in and tear this place down. They've been wanting to do it for a while. So I think that just kind of sped things up. Whereas normally in that type of an environment where the show is over, the fire is over, where mop-up's pretty much done, except for the odd little thing, it's pretty easy. I don't like using the word complacent, but because it's it's pretty relaxed at that point. Those little things can slip sometimes. Like you said, like you guys had a plan, but it wasn't broadcasted to everybody, which it doesn't need to be. But it's learning points and move on. It sounds like you guys handled it fine.
Yeah, I think another thing with that fire was the fact there was two, this is another part of that fire was there was two trees. They're like willow trees. They're also burning, which caused kind of a new dynamic because they're basically in the front yard. So we're kind of keeping an eye on them, making sure they weren't going to fall on anybody. So we were going to, the idea was we were going to chainsaw them and kind of follow them. We have a couple of people that are actually followers that can do that kind of work. So we were getting them lined up. And then with the wind, though, and power lines nearby, it was decided to use that loader. Once he kind of knocked the house out, got him to knock the trees over. So we knocked the trees over and then actually got the same people that could run the chainsaws. They actually bucked the trees up into a few pieces just to make sure there was no, if those willow trees, or if any tree, but then the fire gets into the tree and it runs through the tree because we did not want to come back and do a rekindle on a tree. So that was another kind of aspect that we added.
Yeah, especially with the trees, like you said, like you see a lot more of that in the forestry applications, right? Like it doesn't look too bad from the outside until you actually go and fall it. And then now the whole center is burnt down into the root system, right? That's when they start getting pretty weak. A good windstorm comes and knocks them over. And the willow trees especially, they're weak as hell as it is. They're pretty prone to fracturing. So, I think that's definitely a good move, cleaning up the whole scene and making sure everything's safe for afterwards.
Yeah, that was actually... we were joking about that. Four of us drove down to Vancouver area directly from the structure fire to go do the pre-delivery inspection on our new fire engine. And the joke was, we're not going to get called back for a rekindle on the house. It's going to be from those friggin' trees. So these guys had a plan. Obviously, we didn't realize that you guys were going to buck them up. We knew when we were leaving, the plan was to get them fallen. But getting them bucked up and getting as much exposure to it is probably what saved you guys from having to go back.
Yeah, I guess we'll talk about that trip you guys went on in a minute. I just want to bring up one more call because we really didn't have a lot of calls last week. One call we did, the whole call, I was annoying Todd with it. Because Todd was there for his other work. So I'm driving home from lunch from my actual job. And I see all these, I see two police cars kind of parked on the road, by the 7-Eleven. And, this is interesting. What's going on here? I drive up and there's this, I can see a scooter, like a, not a kid scooter, like an old folks scooter sitting there. And a bunch of people kind of gathered around this guy, older guy, and they had, some gauze or something on his head. I'm assuming the police must have had it, had it. I was like, oh. I wonder if that's going to be a call for us. And literally, as soon as I crossed the, because I could see the officer on a radio. As soon as I crossed the street, pager went off. So I'm like, so I pulled in the parking lot, radioed the duty officer right away that I'm on scene. Because it came in as an MVI, possible extrication of his scooter. Because they weren't sure I don't know how it came in. So crossed the street, made sure there was no entrapment, nothing like that. It was just a little bit of traffic, and the guy obviously had a little bit of a head injury. So we're sitting there talking to the police, and then Todd shows up in the ambulance. And we had a pretty good, I came over, I said, no entrapment. You guys asked me a couple questions. I said, well, I wasn't even first here. I didn't even talk to the guy yet. Because you guys came pretty quick, because I think you might have been on coffee break.
We may have been a block away sitting in the coffee shop when the call came in. Yes.
So we had a little bit of a chat. Went over, Todd asked me to get the cot and stuff. So, did the usual helpful FR thing. our truck arrives, but as this is all happening, Todd and his partner are doing their thing and they're doing their medical thing. And I think we had him on the cot by this time. And now the discussion starts happening of, because his scooter's sitting there. Well, we've had this problem in the past. We've had guys fall off their scooters or get hit by a car. And it's always like, okay, what do we do with this scooter? Because it's pretty heavy. You can't really, you can put it in a truck. Or you can just drive it. So there was a discussion. Should we put it at the police station? Should we take it to the hospital? Should we take it to the guy's house? Well, we're having this discussion in front of this old fella who's probably has a head injury. Well, he definitely had a head injury. So he's trying to piece together what's going on. We're discussing back and forth over the cot. Steve, he's like trying to, he's like, I think I drove one of those before. We're having this discussion. Todd's like, okay, everybody shut up. Just let me do my job. We'll talk about this in a minute. So we're like, oh, sorry. Sorry, Todd.
I didn't say shut up. But I was politely trying to say, okay, four guys, stop talking. it was pretty awesome though. It's like this gentleman, he had a legit head injury. We're a little worried about. He went up to some upcare at another hospital afterwards as well. But it's so awesome having a small town the way we do this. Like having the fire department come there. Like if that same call would have been in the lower mainland, fire guys, they would have peaced out and cops would be sitting there stuck dealing with the scooter, right? Whereas here, you guys, we got the address, figured out he's lives close to the hospital on the way, and it was delivered, done. And in the past, we've had that as well. I called you guys on another call, and Chief Bob jumped on the scooter and drove it home. And it's part of that public service, man. It's so awesome. Like that was so important to him that happened. And then when the police officer met us back at the hospital, said, yep, we've got your scooters parked at your residence. It's parked by the other bike rack. And your groceries and all your perishables are already in your neighbor's fridge. Like, everything was taken care of. And that's that full circle public service, man. It's fantastic.
Yes, yeah, so that was us being not so helpful to Todd, but helpful to the patient. So Ash, while we were working, you guys were out enjoying yourself in a four-star resort. Should we talk about that first?
Do you have your penicillin?
I'm almost done my round of penicillin just to make sure everything's all right. Yeah, no, so we...
Maybe we shouldn't say where you stay.
No, we're not going to name names, but... Chief gets us booked in. We drove down Monday night, booked into a nice classy establishment. And then we're going to go to Hub Fire Engines to do the pre-delivery for our new engine, which is set to arrive potentially this week, which is really good. So we drive down, we leave the structure fire, we drive down. It's like four-ish hours to get yourself from here to there. You know, we're chatting with the chief and asking whereabouts we're booked in, and we're looking online, and, you know, you can see some Google reviews, and there, of all the stars that you could get, there wasn't many of them. Okay. So we get there, and we park, and we go inside to check in, and within, I mean, we're literally checking in. So we're parked outside of the entrance, and there is probably somebody that could have been living in the same structure that just burned down back in Oliver. Definitely down in their luck, if you will. Probably.
He's called a meth enthusiast. Possibly a crack enthusiast.
Yes, a methamphetamine enthusiast by all means. Was trying to break into our truck while we were, like, it was still warm. Like, we just left. And there's these massive glass windows. Like, we're watching him try every door. We're like, son of a bitch, man. Like, this is terrible. So we asked the guy, hey, buddy, is our truck going to be okay there? Like, Chief's pretty smooth talker in these events. Hey, what's up with this guy? Ah, he's fine. I wouldn't worry. Just lock it up, right? We're like, well, I mean, he's trying to break in now. And it's still daylight, so... Anyway, so we got ourselves checked in. And this was quite the stay. It was a nice, nice place. I checked both of my beds because somebody may have been sending images of like bed bugs being gross. So, yeah, I was checking everything. It appeared to be clean. I didn't use the washroom, but Kev was sending a text like, my fucking washroom door doesn't even close. And I'm like, ah, sucker. So, like, oh, sorry, I did, but there was nobody in my room because Rob and or Adam was supposed to come with us. So I was one guy down, and I was like, oh, I'm going to play a little rank, favor, scissors here. And it's like, I get my own room. Lucky me. Well, after, I was like, man, I wish I had a buddy here. Like, I would sleep inward of the entrance door. So they would be the first person to get stabbed or something. But Anyway, so short story long, it was a pretty rough night's sleep. The bed was really uncomfortable. I slept clothed. It was pretty shitty. And like, she felt so bad after. Like, we were making, like we were poking fun. And by the end of the trip, like, we had to back off because he felt really bad. But he definitely made up for it with the steak dinner. So I'm like, every penny that we could have saved by getting a cheap ass room, we made up with a really nice meal. So that was good. So we wake up the next morning, have a quick bite to eat, and then we headed over to Hub. Once we got there, the crew there is like top notch. They met us there. They got us all checked in, went out to the truck. And I mean, what a beautiful piece of equipment, guys. Like, those guys did a phenomenal job. It's a Spartan chassis, Cummins engine, custom cab, obviously, with a, Hub like box, and Hub built a beautiful piece of equipment for us. I can't wait to show photos once it's here. But we basically went from bumper to bumper, checked off everything on the build sheet. They built everything to spec, if not beyond spec. There was a couple of things that we chatted about, which is actually going to be not a change work order. It's just more of a, like, let's top it up and make something just a tad better. It's exactly what we asked for. But now that we saw it in play, we're like, we can probably even do a little bit better. And they also agreed. There's a few things that, like, that they saw when, like, once it was built, they're like, no, we're actually going to make this a tad bit better even. So yeah, we went through everything, checked everything out, flashed it up, checked all of the operating systems. Everything was great. Again, yeah, we're going to add a couple extra things just to change up a bit, but we anticipate that being here the end of September or the first week of October. So once it lands, we'll at least take and share a just some nice exterior photos, and then once it's in service, we'll share all the info on it for sure.
Yeah, the back of the cab itself, those things are massive. You probably could have slept in there instead of the wonderful hotel room. Definitely cleaner. But yeah, the pictures you guys sent us was great. A couple of the additions that we wanted. I think one thing in particular was the writ ladder that we got in, added, which we'll show. So basically, it's a ladder that's kind of dual purpose. So it's on the rear bumper, and it goes up to the hose bed to help assist us in climbing up the hose bed. But it's dual purpose in that we should be able to detach it, which I think you guys tried. It's detachable, and it becomes like a writ ladder, a low level, like a 6-foot ladder that we can put into a low level window to access those low level windows for fire.
Yeah, what's funny? So we're pretty well known for our, like, one off. Let's try to build something new. Let's be, you know, as cutting edge as possible. And it's just a factory Zico ladder that comes on the back of rescue trucks and, you know, fire trucks, where you have to gain access to the hose bed or to an upper level. And it's just one flight of it. And we're looking at it, and it's installed, and it's exactly what we asked for. And as I'm looking at it, I'm like, man, the only thing missing would be a couple of hooks like you would have on your classic roof ladder. And the guy's like, yeah, we kind of thought the same thing, but I just couldn't really figure out how to do it. And I'm staring at it, and I'm like, oh no, this would be really easy. And he like looks at me like, how? So I like run it through. I'm like, oh yeah, no, we have a guy. If you grab basically a hook and then a slotted like pipe that would slide over top of it that you could pin, and like it wouldn't move. It would pin in because it's held on the truck with pins. And then if you had like a detent sort of rubber mount on the backside of it, like our nozzle mounts or something, but small, the hook itself would actually like hook onto the backside and then be tethered with a thin, like 1/8-inch aircraft cable. He's like, oh, well, yeah, that would work perfect. But there's not enough time for them to go and design it. So it'll probably be a follow-up that we can chat with Dennis, but I think we can easily get hooks back on it. But he laughs. He's like, yeah, it's always you guys, man.
Yeah, I really like the the photo of that. It's that's pretty slick. And I was actually I shared that photo with one of our other members. We looked at a bunch of the photos that you guys took as we're ordering a truck next year as well, a custom cab. So it's a lot safer to get up to the back of the hose bed as well versus those other flip down steps. I've never really liked the system of them, and just having that dual purpose, I think that's slick. I can't wait to see it in your home.
How easy was it to detach? I was going to ask you guys.
Super, super easy. So the ladder itself just kind of like clips in at the bottom, and then when it lays in, it just falls into place. And there's like the top of the ladder has, it's a round bar, and then at the top it comes out, and there's just like a flat blade, and the blade, I can't lift my other hand here to show you.
I was watching your hand signals. It's like, you're probably doing swear. In sign language, you're probably swearing before right now.
Yeah, that's right. So it's just a flat blade that slips in, and then you pin it. So to come out, the pins are on that aircraft style cable. So you just pull them out, and the ladder pulls away. It's a pull up and out. So you can deploy it in a second or two. It's really fast. Single person, very, very, very simple.
Yeah. And like, I remember when we first kind of brought that up in the meeting, we were, you know, in our truck meeting, like, and that was like 4 years ago, because I think it was pre-COVID. Yeah. So everything got delayed. when we first talked about it, we were like, yeah, we always have these like long, long ladders, that, you know, with a roof ladder, even attic ladders are slightly shorter, but they're not that much shorter. They can fold up nice, but they're not easy. Like when you try to go up to like one of those first floor windows where you can't quite climb through, you don't really want to be balancing on a halogen bar, because that's one, I know we know that's one way you can put a step. So if you got to jump in, but you can't quite do the work you want. And it's like, man, I wish I had a half of a roof ladder. And of course there's people that have cut roof ladders down. We know that's a classic rip like ladder. But we wanted something that, was like dual purpose. Like Todd said, like Ash said. So this was the option. And that's like my, out of $1 million truck, this is my favorite thing that I think we put on there so far. That's what I can see. I'm like, sweet, sweet ladder.
Yeah, it's.
I can show a little teaser.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, yeah. That's yeah, it was really cool. You know, again, hats off to Hub. I can't wait to show off. Like I was saying to the crew last Thursday at practice, like, this is something to be really, really proud of. We're, you know, definitely had a heavy design from bumper to bumper. Those custom cabs, the word custom is right in the name, and that's there for a reason. Right down to like the seating layout, what kind of tools are mounted on the inside. Like, we're making sure we have the Marriott irons are inside. We're going to have a spot to store some of our medical gear right on the inside. Right down to the way all of our radios are mounted. Like, it's very much like, hey, you can put this here. You can drill holes here. You can mount this. It's so user friendly. Over the years of all the things that we wish that our current engines could be, you know, you have those frustrating moments like, oh, I wish I had more room for this, or, oh, I sure wish this wasn't here because I keep kicking it. Well, now we have so much extra space. Like, we got the extra, like, it's the second size up cab. I forget what it's called, but it's that little bit bigger. You get about 10 extra inches. And they say, like, when we were in there, we were sitting in the back of the cab chatting, and he says, you know, like, if you guys got the smaller one, which a lot of city guys do, just for the shorter wheelbase, he says, right now, like, your feet would be, like, hitting the other side of the cab, where now you got all this extra space, which Kev is like, well, maybe we can throw an extra shelf in there. Where I'm kind of leaning towards, hey, like, that's a great spot that you can throw like a duffel bag of gear. So like, in years, if this thing's out on like some wildland, whether it's, you know, locally here in town or if it's elsewhere, there's a spot that you can slide your gear in, and it's out of the way and still inside the cab. So it's just like, so dialed in. I don't know what else that we could do to make it better. We did go and tour a ton of trucks, and we looked online, and it was a pretty good diverse group of people that were hands-on on making this truck, I guess, like on like the pre-design before we gave them all of our ideas and spec. And what they came back with is like our vision couldn't have been met any closer. Like it's awesome.
Yeah, the pictures that you guys shared, it's a great truck, you know, and Hub, like, I mean, pretty much every truck here has come from Hub, and they've always been fantastic to work with. And just like you said, that space for the future to add things and change things, it's so versatile. Yeah, I'm pretty excited to see it roll up in your hall. I'll be swinging by for sure at work when you guys get it delivered to take a peek.
Yeah, you know, that's something that we made mention while we were down there. With like our entire fleet, excluding our one water tender, is all Hub. Everything's Hub. And like, you know, it's not for lack of like any quotes or looking at other brands. We were super happy with the Pierce design as well. Would have had zero issues going with them. I mean, I guess we can say it now. They actually shit the bed on the quoting. Like, they got their quoting late. It was super basic. They kind of, like, phoned it in. And it was, like, as this was going on, it was, like, right in the heart of when COVID was really shutting everything down. So, I don't know. I don't want to give any excuses for them. But where Hub was still very much, like, every step of the way, they were there chatting with us and making sure that, you know, if we did end up choosing them, that yeah, they were ready to build it for us. And so that was great. And, you know, I'm explaining that, you know, like everything other than the one water tender is Hub now. And it's a shame that our next truck likely won't be able to be a Hub because it's going to be a Quint and they don't do anything with an aerial. And you kind of like didn't want to let the cat out of the bag, but Hub has just amalgamated with another company. And it says, I'm going to make a note here. I'm going to send an email. You might be able to buy your next truck from us still. So I was like, okay, hey, that's great. Like, we're still going to have to go through the RFP, you know, the full process and, you know, may the best bidder win. But, you know, it does carry a lot of weight when you have such a long-standing relationship with a company. And it's not like their quality is going the opposite way. It's just getting better. So.
Yeah, and that was always one thing with like through the whole COVID stuff. Like it was super challenging trying to place some orders and just like chassis availability and computer chips and parts. Like everything was so challenging, and made it especially challenging for smaller departments because we're ordering one truck, you know. Whereas a lot of these larger centers are ordering a handful of them, so it was definitely a bit of an issue. I know we had to change some more budgeting and stuff and our purchase times for some of our apparatus as well. But, yeah, working with them and they've always bent over backwards for any changes and stuff. It's been fantastic.
Yeah. I was just going to wrap that up. Like, yeah, once we were done there, it was not quite a race back, but we obviously wanted to get ourselves back quick and get back into service. And yeah, it's been pretty uneventful since. Not a super busy week by any means since we got back. But the Chief's away, and this is just a quick shout out to Chief Bob. I asked him, like, is this the longest that you've been away, A, from the wife period, or from the hall? And he says, he starts to think back. He's like, yeah, I actually think so. And he's flying out, not tomorrow, the following day. And he lands in Ireland on his birthday, which is pretty cool. So he's gone for another couple weeks, comes back second week of October. So kind of a truck will just be getting here when he gets back. We're going to get it home, get it inside, get a couple things ready on it, and then we'll do the official in-service push-in once Chief Bob's back. Just would be a bit of a jerk move to do it before he comes back.
Yeah, I think that'll be interesting. We did our last push-in ceremonies. We haven't done a lot of them. Obviously, we don't get a truck every year, but I've done a couple, so they're kind of unique. I can't remember where that came from. Where did the pushing ceremony come from? It seems kind of weird that you push the thing in, because I'm assuming it comes from like the horse-drawn carriage days. Because
it absolutely does.
You wouldn't want to, yeah, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so way back in the day, the initial carriage, like the old like horse-drawn fire carriage or whatever, they would push them in rather than the horse pushing them in. And then they would saddle up or whatever to go and use them. But yeah, it was manpower to push them in.
Yeah, so I was telling one of my kids about it, and they're like, oh, doesn't that mean your truck's a piece of crap if you have to push it in? It's like, oh, fact. So yeah, it's tradition. I guess. Yeah. That was one of those firefighter things. It's tradition.
I know when we put our new tender into service, we had to push it in, and it was in service, so full of water and a slight grade going up into the hill or into the hall. Like, we're gonna have this thing in reverse, right? So we had to help nurse it in because it was just too much.
Oh, anyways, so sorry if I am malfunctioning with my computer. I think we're gonna wrap her up from here. Anything else you want to add before we get into show notes?
No, I think we're good.
We had our kind of year-end little wrap-up get-together fun night the other night at practice. So we all head out to our little Rattlesnake Canyon, it's called. It's that kind of little amusement park in town. So the crew went mini-golfing and bumper car racing.
I don't think that's what it's called.
Car
it's
racing.
Go-karting. Idiots turned it into bumper cars.
Yeah. It's not – I think it actually says no bumping on the track.
Rules. What am I talking about? Anyways, I was working. I got there late. I missed the golfing shenanigans, but I got there just in time to jump on the track. Everybody was sitting in the cars ready to start. So I jumped in one of the doubles. They threw me in, and we had I think there was 17 of us out on the track. We went for a pretty long time, and it was absolutely chaotic. There was a lot of bumping, a lot of hitting. I was trying to do a pit maneuver to our deputy chief, and his gas cap fell off and gas sprayed everywhere. It was crazy. It was a lot of fun. Next corner, you come around, and there he is coming into the oncoming lane. It was a lot of fun. So a lot of good team building, a lot of good camaraderie, a lot of good laughs, and a lot of ibuprofen later that night for my ribs.
All right. So there's that. Modus.
Yeah, so Modus, their claim to fame again is going to be the Snagger Tool. But I know Scott's reaching for something pretty sweet here. They have semi-perfected. We had like version not even one many moons ago. Their new radio strap and pouch is nice. So kind of doing some beta testing for them right now. Scott's been rocking it. You're on duty this week. So you've been trying it out. When I take over, I'm gonna test it for a week as well, and we'll make sure Todd has a chance as well. And just one more piece of kit that these guys are offering. And it's nice, like being able to like actually field test some of this stuff. Because we're already giving them some feedback. Like, it shipped out. It was crazy long. And it's just...
About the shipping, the strap was crazy long.
Yeah.
And it was, down in my cargo pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And really, we couldn't adjust it up even tighter. So it was like, hanging really low. So I talked to Paul from Modus, and I said, "Hey, can I cut this strap and, like, modify it?" He's like, "Oh, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, it's a beta test." So cut it down pretty much to the perfect length, I think, now. But the new one, he said, he'll make it shorter and more adjustable.
Yeah, so being able to work with these guys, like, it's such an awesome thing that you can get that, live action testing back. And, and so watch out for that. It's going to be another piece of equipment that's going to be offered here shortly, I'm sure. It goes along with a lot of the other textile stuff that they're offering now. They've got their X gloves, They got the, I don't know if it's online yet, the X pouch, the auto X pouch.
Yeah, I don't know. We were using it the other day again in training. It's funny, I was going around because, again, still new. We're still kind of in testing phase. A lot of the guys aren't wearing it. I found it, somebody left it on the hood of the, or yeah, the trunk of the vehicle. So I took it off and connected to the guy that was using it. I'm like, nope, put this on, test it. And actually, he said, oh, yeah, it actually is pretty comfortable once it's on. So the new X pouch will be definitely, I think, coming out, but they're going to do a couple more modifications from our suggestions and other department suggestions.
Yeah, so watch out for that. Obviously, they got their textile bags. They've got their some force entry wedges, soft entry wedge or soft entry kit, and just yeah, tons. So check them out online. DTFF5 gets you 5% off, and it's been a minute since we talked about it. So go and check out their Fire Plus Life. Jeez, Scott's dying.
Are you choking? Are you in need of medical assistance?
Nice. Yeah. Jesus. Be sure to check out the Fire Plus Life videos. There's ours and a couple others. Really, really cool videos.
Yeah, and just also, just actually just on their website right now. So go on to themotus.com. They got a couple of... items that are on sale right now. So their vehicle kit pouch, which is super awesome. Ash rocks one in his truck there. And we've got a few other applications of them. So it's on sale right now, 50% off. So it's a pretty smoking deal for $19.99. And then they've also got the full complete vehicle kit with all your accessories on sale. And it's 38% off. So that's pretty big discount. So pretty awesome if you want to jump on some of that stuff. Yeah, they make amazing products. We really love them, and that's why we keep talking about them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Scott's gone off to die, so we're going to keep tabs on that briefly here. But Todd, why don't you talk about Stop the Bleed?
Yeah, Stop the Bleed. So first, Scott did the classic thing as somebody choking, ran to the bathroom by himself. Good move, Scott. Well done. Yeah, but he survived, it looks like. One thing you're not supposed to do. Yeah, Stop the Bleed. So stopthebleed.com or .org. You can go online, find out if there's any courses near you. And, of course, the three methods of massive hemorrhage control are tourniquet application, wound packing, and direct pressure. And make sure you have a good tourniquet and it's out of the plastic wrapper. Make sure it's accessible and on you at all times. You can check out our YouTube as well. We have some content on that.
Thanks. Ash, Wolf Tree Coffee.
Yeah, absolutely. Wolf Tree. If you look at Todd's shirt there, we're repping the brand. Definitely was drinking the coffee tonight. A bit of a long day for some of us. I was out in the sun all day. We're fall weather, but it was beautiful today. So keeping us awake as we record a little later than we're used to tonight. So I'm sure we'll be sleeping well on the back end of that. But yeah, Wolf Tree Coffee out of Oliver, BC. They've got a bunch of blends. We're pretty partial to the initial attack blend, which we helped, I guess, pick out, design, blend, whatever. And the nice thing about that is with every pound that you purchase, $2 is donated to the Honor House Society. So, yeah, continue to support that. They are shipping. So if you're not local, definitely hop online. Check them out on their Facebooks, their Instas. I think it's wolftreecoffee.com. And you can pick up an order and have it shipped to you.
Nice. And Tanner.
Tanner Olson Band, country music out of West Coast Canada. We're a big supporter of them. They come out here and played a couple times. They're fantastic. And they're touring all over the place. Scott's usually...
They're actually in Nashville.
Where touring? Right, are they touring right now?
I don't know if they're touring, but they're down there doing some stuff.
Anyways, yeah, so Tanner Olson Band, fantastic. Check them out on all your usual listening platforms and give them a like, give them a follow, and send them a message saying that you heard about them through us.
Yeah, right. Check out their new single, Backroad, as well.
Yeah, Yeah, I checked it out while I was on a back road the other day. Scratched my truck. My truck is scratched, which is fine. Whatever, it's a truck. Anyways, lastly, it's us, right? Yeah. So check us out. We're on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. TikTok still? Is that even a thing anymore?
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge thing for the kids and right. for the peoples, but it's not a huge thing for us. We are shitting the bed on the TikTok.
Are we on X?
We're not on X. No, I'm on X.
Yeah. Sounds dirty.
Like, not current.
What the hell's X?
X? It's Twitter. Did you know that?
Yeah, I am not on Twitter.
Yeah. Anyways, we're not on X. I thought we were.
I think so. We're on LinkedIn.
Okay. Anyways, that's where we are. if you find us, like us. If not, don't like us, whatever. If you're going to give us a review, give us a 5-star review or piss off. Okay, right.
Shirts, shirts.
So don't piss off just yet. Buy some shirts. You can find that on Todd. What's in the store?
It's the DTFF store. And on our Facebook link there, you'll be able to see the link.
Cool. Any more for any more?
No, sir.
No. Thank you. Good night.
You can say good night. Just...
Good night.
Ash says good night. Yeah, good night and stay DT. Good night. And stay DTFF.
Stay safe, I think, as well.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.